Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 3, day 3 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel 8, 10 through 22. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. If you're listening to this in the United States, you know just how uncertain the times are we're living in. If you've been wondering what you can do but you don't know where to start, I encourage you to go to 714prayer.org. That's 714, the number is 714prayer.org, and find out what a difference praying for our nation twice a day for just 1 minute can make. It really does matter to the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say today? Would you speak to us? Show us your ways in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, we're going to jump into God's word. We're going to be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 10. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all of the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the Israelites, "Everyone go back to your own town." So this is a sad day in Israel's history. Now, we talked about yesterday how in Deuteronomy chapter 17, the Lord had already told Moses that this was going to happen someday. And so I have to believe that Samuel has read that. He knows this. He knows what the Lord has said, that they will ask for a king. It's just that it's been hundreds of years since that was prophesied. And it just happens to be falling during Samuel's reign as judge, or actually he's now kind of the retired judge over Israel, and they're rejecting his sons because of their wickedness. But again, like we talked about yesterday, they're actually rejecting the Lord. The people of Israel are rejecting the Lord because they don't want to have to repent. They don't want to have to turn back to the Lord with all of their hearts and get rid of their idols and return to the Lord so that he will fight their battles for them. They want a king who will come in and fight their battles, who will lead them into battle, someone permanent in place, a family lineage that will continue to raise up a strong national defense. Now, understand what this is saying here. This is one of the primary concerns throughout history of most peoples. Who will protect us? We need leaders who will protect us. Don't we hear that cry in America today? We need a strong leader who will protect us from our enemies. And what does the Lord say about that? He says that when we ask for men and women to protect us, we're actually rejecting him. When we put our trust in leaders and kings, chariots and horses, as the Bible says, we put our hope in things that can't save us. The only one who can save us, the only one who can protect us, is the Lord himself. When we put our hope in anything else, it falls short. So when we look at the election cycles that go on in the United States, protection and defense are always some of the biggest ticket items that candidates want to talk about. Is they're going to be, especially for president, they're going to be strong defenders of our nation, and they're going to raise up the military to fight for us. And throughout America's history, we've seen that we've had a strong military and we've won many battles, but the Lord says it's Him. He is the one who protects us. And when we put our hope in anything else, it falls short. In fact, Samuel tells them, listen, you want someone to fight your battles for you, but you will end up crying out to the Lord to save you from this king. You're going to actually tell the Lord, we've made a mistake. Take the king away. We want you as our leader again. And at that point, the Lord's going to say, no, you've chosen this for you. I will not hear your prayers to remove this king from you. You chose this. You insisted on this, and you'll have to live with it. And that's one of the saddest things. But yet we do that today. We cry out to the Lord, give us this candidate that we want. Instead of crying out to the Lord, will you protect us? Will you lead us? Will you guide us? Instead of humbling ourselves as a nation and crying out to Him and repenting, we want to throw off the shackles that repentance brings. It means that we have to turn away. Repenting literally means changing directions. And most people don't want to do that. They don't want to leave behind the sins and the things that have ensnared them to follow the Lord. We want a leader who will lead us in our battles without having to repent, without having to go to the Lord. See, if we go to the Lord, we have to constantly evaluate ourselves. When we go before a holy God, we understand that there is sin in our lives. And when we try to self-justify ourselves, that we're not as bad as other people, we know that we always fall short. And so what we do is we do the same thing that Adam and Eve did. They clothed themselves to hide their nakedness from God. When we come to the Lord with sin in our lives, open sin, we know that we're naked before Him. We try and cover ourselves. And what we want, instead of having to go before the Lord and see our shameful nakedness, see our sin for what it is, we want to go to a person so that we don't have to stand before the piercing light of the Holy God. We want a person to be our intermediary. We want someone else to go and fight our battles and take care of our problems instead of having to rend our hearts before the Lord. And that's what's going on here. We're not much different from these Israelites back then. We would much rather have a person defend us and protect us. An extra biblical account that the Jews have in their history is that Nimrod, who is referenced in the Bible, they believe he was the founder of Babylon. And one of these extra biblical accounts is that the reason that Nimrod founded Babylon, he wanted power. He wanted people to follow him. But he lived in an era when all of the people living on planet Earth at that time were descended from Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah who had come off of the ark, off of the boat. And they knew the protection of the Lord. In fact, they all lived so long that Shem, Ham, and Japheth could all tell of the protection of the Lord. They could tell of the knowledge of the Holy God. They knew Him. They had encountered Him. And they had seen what He had done to planet Earth. And Nimrod could not bring about this unification under his leadership. No one wanted to follow Nimrod because they trusted in the Lord for their safety, for their defense. And so Nimrod, what he did, because he needed to weaken their dependence on the Lord, he created idols. Now, again, this is an extra biblical account. And this is not in the scriptures. This is an extra biblical account. But I think it's somewhat accurate here. Is Babylon is the place where idol worship began. And it was become Nimrod needed to weaken people's dependence on the God of heaven. He needed to create false gods that they would hope in, that would fail them. And then he himself could raise himself up as their defender, as their protector. And only by doing that, only by weakening people's reliance on the God of eternity, could he become their king. And we see the same thing today. People have to weaken our dependence on the God of eternity so that we will trust in them. And when we put our trust in people, when we put our trust in political leaders, when we think that they are the solution for our nation or our problems, we're doing the exact same thing here. And how often do we do the same thing? Samuel went back to the Lord and he said, "This is what they said." And the Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." How often do we trade the Lord for a weak human being? How often do we trade the Lord's leadership for someone who cannot help us? Because it's the Lord who delivers, not chariots, not kings, not presidents, not militaries. It's the Lord who delivers, and the Lord alone. And only when the Lord chooses that a military or a king or a president will lead us into victory, only then does that military or king or president have victory. The Lord is our only hope. I encourage you to meditate on this, ponder this, because this is so similar to us today. We want a king to fight our battles. And it's because we don't want to turn our hearts back to the Lord. We don't want to repent. We want to keep going in the same way. We just want a person to deal with this so that we don't have to repent, so we don't have to turn back to the Lord. That's exactly what's going on in our nation today. And it's exactly what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 8. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining me in the 10-Week Bible Podcast. As always, I really appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. It helps move the podcast up in the rankings when people are searching for it or looking for things. And they will find this Bible study that can be so transforming, not because of my words, but because of the power of repetition by listening to and reading the Bible over and over again. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.